Today's Wednesday, September 14th, 2005. I'm in Algiers, New Orleans, Louisiana, and I'm speaking with...
Noah.
So, Noah, tell me what brings you out to New Orleans at this time?
I'm doing free medical care based out of a clinic we've set up at the Majid Bilal Mosque on Taft Street. We came down here because we've been in contact with Malik Rahim, who said, get our medically trained butts down here as fast as possible to help these people. So far, only yesterday did the government open healthcare, and after today, they're shutting down the clinic they've set up in Algiers, so we're here for the long haul to help get these people some basic healthcare.
What kind of services do you provide here at this healthcare clinic?
We provide everything from basic checkups and blood pressure testing to inoculations against tetanus and hepatitis B. We're also doing home visits via bicycle and now by car. We're also providing usually one van transport to West Jefferson Hospital for people to get their prescriptions filled. And we're also doing some basic nutrient care by distributing vitamins. And we also have hygiene supplies and baby supplies.
So who are the medics that are providing this? Can you give me a little information on the background?
We have some EMTs, we have a registered nurse, and at present we have a doctor from San Francisco. These are radical medical workers who have done a lot of work around protests as well as their work in the mainstream medical system. And we have a group in from San Francisco. I myself am from Providence. One of the other EMTs is from Connecticut. We have another first responder in from Philadelphia by way of Chicago. And we're just doing our best for these people. And we're providing medical services that haven't been seen in this neighborhood in a long time.
How is this effort being funded?
A lot of the money has come out of our pockets, as well as donations that have been siphoned our way through Veterans for Peace, Made ADC, Get Your Act On. I'm not sure who the folks from Texas are, but they brought us some supplies. Riot Folk Records made a large donation to this medical clinic, and several doctors have brought in supplies and prescriptions that they got, I presume, through their own pockets or through supplies they were able to access through the clinic set up in the satellite areas around New Orleans.
Can you give an estimate as to how many people you've helped per day and how many people you helped total so far?
Well, so far we've probably treated around 400 or 500 folks over the past 5 days between people coming into the clinic and people we've gone out to visit. At first, it was just a slow trickle. Maybe the first day we only treated 15 or 20 folks. Since then, the number's steadily been increasing to about 50 to 80 folks a day.
How do people find out about this medical clinic?
A lot of it's been by word of mouth, neighbors telling neighbors about it. For a while the Army was more present and more visible, they were informing people of the resources we had at the clinic and directing people our way. And we're going to start putting up some basic flyers in neighborhoods so as people return, they'll be able to know about it and be able to come over here to get medical aid.
What would you say the overall response has been from the authorities here in New Orleans right now?
Well, the air cavalry unit that has been in control of this area have been pretty positive. The other day, we actually had a military police unit of U.S. Army and U.S. Air Force soldiers who had pilfered supplies from a FEMA warehouse and brought them to us. So the grunts and the enlisted folks have been really positive in their response. The officers have been a bit more hesitant because of the political leanings of some of the groups that have made this clinic possible. Oh, but overall, we've been tolerated, if not enthusiastically welcomed by the Army.
And what are the political leanings of the groups involved?
So far, it's mainly far-left groups and anarchist organizations and the Black Panthers, who are a bit more nationalist, socialist-leaning. And it's essentially almost more of a radical lean. We have some, you know, political leaflets we're handing out about the truth about these large charitable groups that are really little more than poverty pimps. And, you know, we've also been distributing information about mosquitoes and solar cookers and disinfecting water. But as our signs say out front, this is solidarity, not charity. And this clinic so far still has a bit of a radical anti-authoritarian tilt to it.
When you say these large charity organizations are poverty pimps, can you explain what you mean by that?
I mean, these organizations, as an example, the Red Cross, their president in 2004, his salary was $651,000. And many of the other administrators of these organizations have similarly high salaries. And so when these disasters strike, people, these organizations put their hands out and start demanding money. And mostly what they're doing is a lot of paperwork and not actually getting the relief in as effectively as they can. And so these groups, you know, make their living off people who are poor and people who have been put through this type of tragedy and disaster. And they really don't want these things to go away, because then they would be put out of a job and not have their, you know, six-figure salaries going anymore. If, you know, these types of smaller grassroots efforts that are almost completely do-it-yourself and out-of-pocket spending and the money to get this done, and actually getting it done a lot faster than these large behemoth bureaucratic organizations. I mean, the Red Cross has had prescriptions that and medical supplies that were coming into this clinic arrested not only once but twice. And it was a licensed practical nurse who had been working with the Red Cross for 2 weeks since the disaster. And he had ended up getting arrested twice, once by one of the local police agencies and then turned over to the Army, and a second time by Homeland Security. And he's essentially had to leave town because he is so absolutely frustrated with the bullshit that these organizations have been doing, saying, you know, putting out press releases how these grassroots efforts are a waste of time and distracting them from being able to provide the aid. But when we weren't here, and when we were the first ones in, and when they had all the opportunities to be the first ones in, you know, being the heroes of the day, they dropped the ball, and they've dropped the ball repeatedly. And these organizations, they have these public relations firms working for them to get them out on TV. So people think that, oh, this is a really good group, and a lot of the people volunteering with these groups are good people. But it's the higher echelons of these organizations who are, you know, collecting fat salaries to be supposedly organizing this work when they're, you know, sitting in air-conditioned offices far from here, not dealing with the, you know, folks who need their help.
When you say that some of the groups involved are anarchist and anti-authoritarian, could you maybe expand on that?
The way I interpret anarchism is that you need to talk to your neighbors. You need to know your community. And if you have a strong community, that community can support itself and help itself, pick itself up and dust itself off. And you don't need government organizations or bosses to come in and tell people, you know, what they have to do to get their lives back in order, or just to live. You can live free. And freedom is really what I'd explain anarchy as, and the ability to not be restrained by having to be authorized to give help, or be authorized to give food, or be authorized to give medical care. Training is important with some of those things, but you know, anyone can fill a truck up with food and water and bring it, and that's anarchy in action. All these, you know, grassroots groups who have just come in, you know, regardless of what the government has been telling them, what they can and cannot do, and getting help to these people who have needed it. And the anti-authoritarian stint is that goes back to the fact that we don't need bosses to operate. We can work together to get these things done, and we don't need, you know, a commander-in-chief or anything like that to stay organized and keep things running. And so we work on more egalitarian principles in which everyone has a say, be they a medical worker, be they one of the folks who are just helping us keep the clinic organized, and other folks who are just bringing water in and moving boxes. is all have, you know, the same say as a doctor in the clinic. As far as it comes to decision making, that's obviously not true about treatment options, but that's simply a matter of expertise in certain areas. But we all have a say, and we make all decisions by the whole group decide something. And if the whole group can't decide on something, or at least, you know, agree, even if they don't think it's the best way, we will work it out so we can come to some understanding of how things will be getting done so that we can operate smoothly. And that's kind of the anti-authoritarianism of it. We don't need bosses. We don't need, you know, higher-ups telling us how to run this show. We're running this clinic perfectly great. You know, initially it was two EMTs, a protest medic, and just a homeless advocate who was helping us stay organized. And, you know, we had doctors come in who had been sitting on their butts in Baton Rouge having FEMA make them shuffle boxes around warehouses, who have come in and been like, what y'all have here is amazing. Like, this is an operating health clinic, and there's the alphabet soup of medical personnel up in Baton Rouge who, you know, are being told, oh, that there's really not any need for y'all. We're flooded with medical personnel. When there is a need for these people here, they're just not being told the actual situation on the ground by the government and FEMA and the Red Cross. And these are people who I imagine have good hearts because they've flown in and driven in and taken buses in from all over the country to come here and try to help people. And the government's having these trained medical personnel who could be treating, you know, all these people, shuffling boxes around a warehouse, moving them from one side to the other.
The mainstream media, the corporate media rather, has described New Orleans as a state of anarchy, a state of lawlessness, a place where people are looting stores, trying to steal televisions. Would you say that that's a fair description of anarchy?
That's not a fair description of anarchy. What that is a breakdown of civil society when police agencies who are supposed to be serving and protecting people are shooting live ammunition at people trying to evacuate, to chase them back into disaster areas, when they're not bringing food and water into neighborhoods that have been destroyed, that didn't have water on, that didn't have power on. It was the government's response that made much of that necessary, that people were literally having to fight and kill to get their basic necessities. That's not anarchy, that's chaos. And that was government-caused chaos. And the mainstream media needs to get themselves a dictionary and start using proper terms, because they're spinning this like, you know, these people are savages, and this could have been, you know, Midtown Manhattan. And if Midtown Manhattan, all these upper middle class folks who had been in this situation, they would have turned to the same things of breaking into stores to get food and water, and, you know, being willing to fight for that food and water, anyone who was trying to take it to them. That was a breakdown of societal norms. That was not anarchy. Anarchy is spontaneous coming together and working of people to, you know, make things happen. It's not looting, it's not pillaging, it's not scavenging for food. That was a matter of actions that were taken because there is a need to survive.
How did you get this space?
Malik Rahim, who's a resident of Algiers, who stayed through the storm, has been organizing food and water supplies out of his house. He's also a member of this mosque. I arranged with the imam of the mosque that we would be able to use this mosque while the worshippers were evacuated and they weren't having services, so we could provide this much-needed medical care for this community.
Could you elaborate on some of the responses that you've gotten from the people that you've treated?
Man, I've gotten big old hugs, as people smiling, people with tears in their eyes, thanking us for, you know, showing up and being like, you know, we thought the world forgot about us. I've had a number of folks in, you know, housing projects have told me, you know, oh, yo, you're good people, man, and you can walk through this hood any day. Hey, we got your back. Ain't no one gonna mess with you in these parts. All right, so this place is my home now. I can come back to Algiers anytime, and I'll be welcome with open arms. And, you know, people are making sure we're getting food. People are, you know, making sure that we're taking care of ourselves. And the fact that these people are so ecstatic over, you know, being given a first aid kit and a bottle of water, just knowing that there are folks out here who are trying to help them the best we can. It's beautiful and it's sad at the same time that took something like this for these people to start getting decent health care. And had a lot of folks tell us this is better health care than they've been getting in years. And it's just, it's really powerful what's happening here, the grassroots efforts. And I can't imagine nothing worse than these local folks having to, you know, be forced out of their homes and, you know, having their homes demolished before they can have a chance to rebuild. So I believe, as Laura Bush said, they can turn New Orleans into the sparkling, clean jewel of the Mississippi. Which sounds like they want to turn it into a rich, white Disney World New Orleans version. And I'll just be sick to my stomach if that happens. And I'm staying here for the long term to make sure I do whatever it is within my power to prevent that from happening.
The volunteers here at the medical center are providing needed medical services, and I see that there's also some types of goods inside the mosque. Can you explain what goods those are and how people can pick those up?
We have basic hygiene supplies. We have toothbrushes, toothpaste, mouthwash, shampoo, soap, deodorant, razors, baby wipes, diapers, both adult diapers for geriatrics and, you know, infant diapers, toddler diapers. We have some flashlights, we have some work gloves, and you can just come on down and take what you need, because this space is open for the people of Algiers, people in the surrounding areas. Anyone who comes through here, we will treat to our full capabilities. So just come on down, we'll hook you up.
And the location once again?
The location, we're located at 1401 Tash Street. That's T-E-C-H-E at the corner of Tash and Socrates, next to All Saints School for folks who know that building, a couple blocks down from Mardi Gras Boulevard.
What other messages would you like to get out to the people that are listening to this interview?
I'd like to get out that what's happened down here in the Gulf Coast region is a humanitarian crisis. And the members of our government to the highest echelons, and that means President Bush, Vice President Dick Cheney, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, the directors of FEMA, the director of the Armed Services who have been in here need to be tried for, once we have a final death count, every death that has happened in this city for preventing people from evacuating beforehand. Amtrak offered to load trains up and get people out of here beforehand. FEMA said no. The city of New Orleans had a fleet of 2,000 school buses that could have been used to get people out of here before the place flooded. And they were left to, you know, get sunk in water and now are, you know, big yellow paperweights. These people need to be tried for their crimes against the people of the Gulf Coast region, and we have to make sure that these people are held accountable for every person who has been killed by police and federal agencies, and for every person who died because they did not have the monetary resources to get out of here and were left to, you know, drown in the filthy water in New Orleans, which I have to fight to get a bottle of water and a bite of food. These people need to be tried for high treason against the people of Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama. And if I have anything to say for it, they will be tried for high treason and executed without ceremony.
And could you provide the phone number if people want to call for more information, maybe see about making an appointment to be seen?
If people want to call, we're also doing home visits. If you can't get out of your house or if you can't make it over here, we can come to you. And the phone number is 504-361-9659. That number, once again, is 504-361-9659.
And once again, whom am I speaking with?
My name's Noah.
All right, thank you very much for your time, Noah.
Thank you.